idea that maybe there's a lot of different ideas on what Christmas actually means. So what is the real meaning of Christmas? And there is a passage in the Bible that talks about that. If you have your Bible with you, it's in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Now, this isn't about the story. This is about the meaning. Why did Jesus come? For what reason did he come? And in 1 John chapter 1, the first four verses, I think he gives us three excellent reasons why Christ came. And I want you to listen as I read these, and maybe you can pick them out. He says this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifest. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard and declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." In this short little four verses, we kind of skip over the story of Christmas. And I think that if you listen to the video, you notice that some of them had the story down. They understood that Christ came to this world. And Christmas is a time, no matter where you're at in this world, all over our world, people are celebrating the birth of a child some 2,000 years ago. And why would that be? That's the story of it. And some would even say that the meaning of Christmas is a babe in a manger. And I want to just kind of correct that idea in your mind a little bit. It's not just a wonderful story. It's not about a babe in a manger. It's about a God in a babe. It's about the God who decided to come to this earth for you and me. Christmas is about the incarnation, and that's a theological term that's not in the Bible, but what it means is to become flesh. The God of the universe, the God who created this world, became flesh, was born as a baby. Can you imagine that? You read Isaiah chapter 6, and it talks about God sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. It talks about cherubim that have six wings, and they cover themselves and cover their eyes, and they fly with the other two. And you hear the sound of thunder and worship going around this throne. And the one that sits upon that, the one who called this world into being, humbled himself, became a baby that had to learn to walk, became a baby that had to grow in wisdom and in knowledge and in favor with God and man, just like you and I do. Why would he do that? Why would God bring himself down to be born as a baby on this earth? Why would he do such a thing? Well, that is the meaning of Christmas. It's the idea that God came down. It's not a baby in a manger. It's a God in that baby. The fully human, fully God, born to us, this child. Well, 1 John 1:9, John gives us a couple reasons, three reasons why Jesus came. What was the true meaning of Christmas? And the first things that we see in here, not working here, Kyle, is he came to give us life, and it should come up here. There we go. He came to give us life. Notice that in these first two verses, it describes this baby in the terms of life. It says, that which was from the beginning. Jesus did not begin 2,000 years ago. From the very beginning, he was here when the world was created. He was in Isaiah 6, the one seated upon the throne. He chose to come down into this earth. So that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, John saying, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the, and here's how he describes Jesus, the word of life. He's using all those descriptive terms. I've seen it, I've heard it, I've touched it. He's almost putting out like a deposition of facts, saying that you can trust what I'm about to tell you. I witnessed this coming of the word of life. And he goes on, he describes him as the word of life. And then verse 2, he says, and the life was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. He describes Jesus as the life, the word of life, eternal life. Christ came to bring life into a world of death. You see, if you go back to the book of Genesis, when God created this world, he said that there would be a consequence if Adam and Eve would eat of the forbidden fruit, and the consequence was that they would surely die. And the day that they ate of that, they begin to die. And death reigns in our world today. I've had a couple funerals in the last few weeks, and they will continue as long as we're here on this earth. But Christ came not to bring death. That's what sin brought. Christ came to bring life to us. That's what the meaning of Christmas was, is that God came to this earth as life. In John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Christ was letting us know the purpose for which he came. He came to bring life to us. This is different than any other religion of the world. Because any other religion of the world says that there's something that you need to do to have life. You need to be good enough to have life. You need to meet a certain requirement before God will offer to you that entrance into eternal bliss in heaven. Only Christianity says you don't have to do it. God gives it. It is a gift from God. Even the counter idea of Christmas, Santa Claus, is really the opposite of what Christianity teaches about Christmas. Because what does Santa Claus say? He's making a what? He's making a list, and he's counting it twice, and he's going to find out who's naughty or nice. There was a little boy that went to a mall to see Santa, and as he was sitting on his lap there, he started going through his list of things that he wanted. Let me see if I got it down here. He said that I would like a bicycle, a sled, a chemical set, a cowboy suit, a train set, baseball gloves, and roller skates. And Santa went, wow, that's quite a bit. That's a pretty long list. But he said, now what I need to do, though, is I'll have to go to my books and I'll have to check to see if you've been a good boy. And the youngster said, no. Never mind checking, just give me the roller skates. Do you know sometimes that's the way we think God is? That there's this requirement of having more good than evil if we're going to have God's favor in our life. But the story of Christmas isn't that. The story of Christmas that God came to the naughty list. That's us. He came to all of us who fall short of his glory. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. And we all have sinned. And we all are reaping that. But he came to give us life. Eternal life. It's a gracious gift. It's a free gift that he was offering to us. The story of Christmas is a story of God's grace in bringing life to us. Secondly, in this passage, we see that he came to be near us. Notice what it says in verse 3 here of John. It says this. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That, if you think about this, this is just mind-boggling to me. The one who created the world wants to be close to you. Wants to be near you. Wants to have fellowship with you. So much so that he was willing to leave the throne of God to be born as a baby. To have to learn to walk and talk and even to increase in his wisdom. He never ceased being God. But the Bible says that he emptied himself to do this. It means he humbled himself in order to do this. For you and I, just to be near us, to be close to us, to have a fellowship with us, so that he could have a relationship with us. That's the God that we serve. You heard the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory, I don't remember how the rest of it goes. But anyway, at one point in that song, it says this, the writer said this, he says, veiled in flesh, talking about Christ, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as men with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. But what caught my attention was when it said veiled in flesh, the God, you know, in the Old Testament, men could not look upon the glory of God and survive. In these mortal bodies that we live in, you can't see God and survive. So any appearance of God in the Old Testament, he had to be veiled. They put him between the rock, and then he would pass by, and they could see. But you couldn't just look directly at God. So what God did is he veiled himself in flesh. If I was to ask you, let's go out today. I don't know if we could do it today because the sun's not out, but let's just go out and stare at the sun. You'd say, that would not be very wise, Pastor. You could burn your eyes out if you stare at the sun. You're right. The only way to look at the sun is through a filter, right? And you've seen the pictures. I've seen the pictures. They put a filter in a telescope of some sort, and then you can actually see the fire and the flames shooting out from around the sun. And the only way they can really study it is to filter it. Do you know that's the same way with our God? The only way to really see God in these fleshly bodies that we have is through a filter. And the songwriter had it right when he said, veiled in flesh. God veiled himself. He filtered himself through flesh. And then you would think, so that we couldn't see him, but no, he said, veiled in flesh, the Godhead seen. The only way we really know God is because he manifested himself to us. He revealed himself through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is about, God coming to earth. God coming to show us that he wanted to be near us. He wanted us to be a part of his life. Us to be a part of his life. Last thing that we see in this passage is in the last verse, and that is the joy that it brings to us as well. He says in verse 4, and these things we write that your joy may be full. I love the aspect of Christmas that reminds us of the joy that God brings into our lives. We saw in Sunday school this morning that joy is because he set us free from sin. He's forgiven us. He's given us power over sin. He gives us a new way of living. He gives us eternal life today, abundant life today. And it just seems to flow. He came to give us that. When we first moved here, we'd lose our electric quite often. Well, we still do. Not as often as we used to. But you'd lose your electric. And to me, the worst part about losing your electric is water. If you can have water, everything else runs well. You know, you got to be able to everything has to flow. And so water was the key thing. Well, when we lose our electric, the being on wells here, the pumps wouldn't pump and we wouldn't have any water. We could go down to the cemetery, and at that point, I don't know if they still have it there or not. There's a pump, so you could pump some water, a hand pump. We could get water that way if we needed to. When the kids had a pool in the backyard, we could steal it from there. But there was somebody in our church, one of the older people. Some of you know, some of you may know him, them. They passed away now. But Leonard and Bernadette Lanfear. They had a home, and whenever they would lose electric, they always had water. And it's like, how do you have water? Because I knew they weren't in the city, and they had a well just like we did. And they said, well, we have an artesian well. I didn't know what an artesian well was. An artesian well means that when you drive your pipe down into the ground, evidently in that water chamber that you finally hit, there is built-in pressure. And so the water literally flows without any pump or anything. It just will pump out. Now, there's not a lot of pressure to it, but they could go up to their tank and they could turn it on and they could get whatever water they wanted. It's just a continually flowing without any electric. That's what Christ brought to us. He brought to us a continual source of joy. If you believe in this message of Christmas, that God came to this earth in the form of a baby to grow, to die on the cross, to be buried, to raise again 3 days later to prove his power over death, when you believe that story, guess what? It's just like you have an artesian well of joy. That no circumstance in life, you can lose your electric, you can lose everything in your life, and you haven't lost the most important source, because it's always flowing of joy. That's what it means to be a Christian. That means you can be sick today with a cold, and you don't feel all that great, but deep down you have a joy in knowing your sins have been forgiven. You have a Savior that loves you, that chose to be near you, who brought you life, eternal life, even in the midst of that. And it's just a continual flow through every circumstance of life. That's what the meaning of Christmas is. That's why we as Christians have all the reason in all the world to rejoice at this time. So when you watch these interviews, you got to stop and think, Do they get the point? Do they really understand what Christmas is all about? That God chose to come here to give you life. God chose to come here just to be near you so that he could have fellowship with you, so you could know who he was. God chose to offer to you an unending flow of joy. What a great Savior we have. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you again for just this reminder of the real meaning of Christmas. It's not a babe in a manger. It's a God in a baby. You came to us to be our Savior. And we just thank you for your love and your sacrifice. Thank you for that life that you've offered to us, eternal life. Thank you for desiring to be near us. Thank you for bringing a joy that never ends. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.